Blog Talk Radio.
Can feel every
that, amen, the battle is not ours. It belongs to the Lord, and we need to take up the full armor of God to realize that we don't stand on the front lines and fight alone. God is already there with us, and he's already leading the fight and the assault. He's the one that we stand behind because he's our general, he's the emperor, he's the king of kings and lord of lords, and the battle is already won. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm your host, Minister Daryl Kendrick, and thank you for being here. Those who are listening on Facebook and other social medias, we thank you for being here to join me for this time of prayer or discussion on prayer as we kick off this month with our 30-30-30, 30 minutes in God's Word, 30 minutes in prayer, and for 30 days. And it's not just 30 days, friends. It's starting the process and the progress of moving forward, that we would be warriors and prayer warriors, and all of us would have a passion for prayer so it becomes a priority. A friend of mine was saying today, you know, she was struggling with, you know, praying out loud and, you know, even by herself. And I said, you know what? Think of it as if you have a relationship, if you have a husband, you got to talk to him. God is our husband. Jesus says the church is his bride. We're his bride. So if we're his bride, then he's the bridegroom. And guess what? He wants us to talk to him. The Father wants us to talk to him. And the way we talk to him is through prayer. And it's important for us to get out of our comfort zones, including me. Me first in priority. I mean, me first and foremost, because this was an area that I've been struggling in. And by kicking this off, I am so, I guess you could say, excited. I'm amped. I'm stoked. I haven't had any sleep, you know, but since 5 o'clock yesterday morning. And, today is my birthday, but I'm not just excited about that. I'm excited about the birth that I have in Christ. I 2007, I rededicated my life to the Lord, and, you know, I've been striving to keep that fire burning. When people want to try to put your fire out, friends, you need to get away from them folks. Because, hey, I don't need nobody trying to throw water on me, throw gasoline on me. I want to be on fire for the Lord, because guess what? I want to go out in a blaze of glory for his name's sake, not for Daryl, not for anything else. I want to be excited about the things of God, because the things of God are eternal. This world is temporal. Everything that you kick out now, your cars, your homes, your stuff, those things are temporal. And we're not talking about praying for the material things, because it's heathens that got material things. We're talking about praying for the things that are eternal. I got a mansion waiting for me in heaven, friends. You might, well, what about down here? What about down here? Ain't nothing down here that I'm really going to miss. When you get to heaven, none of us are going to be looking back and saying, man, I wish I can go back to the earth. Wish I can go back down there to that sinful world. Man, you're going to have everything that you ever wanted. You're going to have the best of the best. And if you're going to have the best of the best, then this is less. Amen? So I just want us to get on fire, and all of us to take a deep look in our prayer life and our where is our priority. Because if our passion is not in, if we don't have a passion for prayer, then we won't have a priority for prayer. And if we don't have a priority for prayer, then we won't pray. And that's just the truth. That's just the real truth. We have to develop a priority for prayer and a passion for it, so that, and it goes hand in hand. When it becomes a priority, then it becomes a passion. You fall in love with it. Amen. So on that note, let us pray, and then we'll get into this lesson. And I want to exhort us. I posted it already, but I want to exhort us and admonish us to, you know, pray for the city of Houston and the mayor down there, who is an open lesbian, and we want to pray for God to bring her to the cross. I'm not going to sit and talk about what she's doing, because the issue is we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against the principalities of the air, the rulers of darkness. So prayer, we need to pray for her, her salvation, for her soul. And many like her, many like them, you know, that are out here that are deceived by the father of lies and the deceitfulness of the forces of darkness. I'm not going to sit and tell them what they're doing wrong. They know what they're doing wrong. The Bible says they suppress the truth. That's any sinner. When you take sin up and want to justify sin or any kind of lifestyle that's apart from God's word, guess what? all you're doing is suppressing what God already told you was true with a lie. But we're going to pray for the city of Houston and the mayor there, that she would come to the cross, that she would come, that she would fall before the whole King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and come and become one like him. And until she does, Houston is still in trouble. I've been there. I lived there for 11 years, so I can say that with boldness. You know, anytime a nation does not fear God, the nation falls and crumbles. Well, if a city does not fear God, they fall and crumble. We don't need more religion, friend. We need a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and it starts with our surrendering our will to God and his holy word and making prayer to God and prayer and studying his word, looking at it, searching the scriptures to find life and making sure that we have life more abundantly. Amen. All right, let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you humbly, Lord, as servants, Lord God. We know that we are not worthy, Lord, but we come before you right now, Lord, the mighty matchless name of Jesus, Lord God, that we just lift up this nation, lift up our churches, lift up our children, our schools, every government institution, Lord God, that has taken your word and perverted it or tried to cause us to turn from the truth, Lord, to turn from your standards and turn to the things that are evil and ungodly, Lord. You told us in Isaiah chapter 5 that in the last days that men would make evil good and good evil, Lord. And we see this so true, Lord, firsthand, Lord. We see the priority to try to change our thinking. First they told us that children weren't worthy, that every life didn't matter. So they said that we could just murder babies from the womb and call it abortion and a woman's right to choose. But, Lord, we see how they try to brainwash us, Lord, with lies from the pit of hell. That's why it's important, Lord, for us to have the mind of Christ. That's why it's important for us to put on the Lord Jesus Christ so we make no provisions for the flesh. That's why it's important, Lord, that our minds be girded up, strapped up, that we have the full armor of God on in these last days. Lord, help us, Lord. Fill us with your spirit, Lord. Give us wisdom, Lord. Give us a fear of you again. Bring us back to our first love. I pray, Lord God, that nobody would take this time of prayer as lightly and just throw out prayers for selfishness, but that our prayers would be powerful and mean something, that we would be praying for this nation, praying for our schools, praying for our children who have been taught all kinds of humanism and naturalism and told that there is no God. We see the devil grinning all the way because he's snatching up souls left and right. But, Lord, we know that the power of prayer has the ability to bring down the forces of darkness and make every knee bow and every tongue confess that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, we just ask, Lord God, for this time in the Word, Lord, that it would be edifying to everyone that would hear. And, Lord, if there's anybody here that does not have a personal relationship with you, Lord, may today, this day, be a day that they reconcile, come back to the cross if they are prodigal children, and if they never known you, Lord, that this be a time that they come before you humbly, broken about and contrite about their sin and realize that they need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. We love you, we praise you, and bless you, Lord. May I decrease and may you increase. May your word touch all who would hear in Jesus' name. Amen. 646-668-8468 is a call in. 646-668-8468. As I was saying before, the mayor of Houston, and I wasn't even going to use her as an example, but it's just, you know, looking at everything that's going on in the country, not just her, it's many like her. We here in California, they're starting to get these whole unisex bathrooms, and they continue to try to take what God calls holy or take what God calls righteous and pervert it, and they want the Christian church to bow down. And as many Christian churches, sad to say, that many Christian churches that have taking this liberal stand on the whole gay agenda, transgender agenda. Friends, I'm sorry. I don't apologize for my stand, because if I don't stand for truth, I'll fall for a lie every time. If I don't stand for what God's word says, and he don't change, I've done a lesson on the fact that he's immutable. God don't change, so his word don't change. I don't hate anybody. I just hate sin. I hate unrighteousness. I hate ungodliness. And that right there, I would go to my grave saying, I don't care if they put me in jail. I'm not going to hell for anybody. So I'm going to stand for the truth, because there's only one truth, and that's God's truth. We can't have multiple doorways to heaven and live a lie. So I'm not going to ever compromise who I am. When I was a sinner, I was stuck on sin, and I lifted up my sin just like the next sinner. I justified it. I got people to participate in it with me. So guess what? When God saved me, he changed me inside out and gave me a new heart, a new mind, and a desire and a passion for his word. And since I have a passion for his word, I have a desire to live it out. I don't care about my life. My life ain't my own anyway. After all I've been through medically, heaven ain't nothing but a doorstep away. So nobody can threaten me with death. Death, what's that? I'm not going to die anyway. All I'm going to do is leave this earth and go home to be with my Heavenly Father. So that's the confidence I have in my Heavenly Father, my relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm not some religious nutcase. I'm just fanatical about my faith. And my faith is in Jesus Christ. It's not in some clown, bozo the clown, or some knucklehead out there. I'm not putting my faith in this world, the government, or any. I don't even put my faith in a church. I put my faith in the church that God builds, but I don't put my faith in man-made churches. I don't put my faith in a pastor. I put my faith in Christ. And because I put my faith in Christ, I believe that he will give me discernment and he will lead me into all truth. So in saying that, looking at 2 Timothy, looking at Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12, and this is a very powerful scripture. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, of the darkness, of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're going to look at this and camp out here for a minute, and we'll give a couple of scriptures on the power of prayer, because for those that don't know, the Lord gave me this vision, I guess you could say, gave me this a desire or a calling to exhort and admonish and build and help others who might be struggling, because I'm struggling with it. And I believe that because when you're struggling with something, we need to, as a body of Christ, be bold or be, you know, transparent enough to say, hey, I need help in this. I need accountability. I need somebody to lift me up as I lift you up. So in doing that, Saturday, I had this desired. I said, the Lord was really speaking to me about 30, 30, 30. First, it was 30, 30. And it was just about spending 30 minutes in God's word. And as I kept on just meditating and the Holy Spirit just kept on opening up new, I guess you could say, more understanding and more desire for this to be a part of a bigger picture. That when Christians come together, Christians, I ain't talking about churchgoers, I'm talking about Christians, people who have a passion for God, not just on Sunday, but a people who have a love for God Monday through Sunday, and we have a desire to, you know, pray, and we have a desire to love God and be ministered to, as well as to grow in our faith. Because, see, a lot of folks been going to church all their life. Guess what? They ain't been church, though. They think God is a joke. They think sin is okay. They shacking up. They lacking up. They living, you know, it's kind of, and God says it's vomit. He says that in Revelation chapter 3. He talks about the church of Laodicea. He said, you make me sick. Because, see, you love the things of this world. You have your money. You have all your stuff, but you don't have me. And a lot of people want God, but they want God on their terms. And they have yet to come to the cross. And my encouragement to you, friends, is don't walk in unbelief. Don't continue to do, if you can't look at nothing else, if you look at the Old Testament, the God of the Old Testament, the same God of the New Testament, and guess what? He judged Israel, his own people who he brung out of Egypt, showed them who he was and showed them that he was faithful, and yet they still walked in unbelief and many of them died in the wilderness. And you could be that person or you could be a smart person, a wise person who will build his house on the rock, which is Jesus Christ. And it starts with not only accepting Jesus Christ by faith, but then you must pray and stand boldly. So we're going to look at these, we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 6 because we are wrestling against the principalities. We're wrestling against the spiritual darkness. The Lord has really been ministering to me about that when people are doing stuff that seems stupid and crazy and they claim to be Christians, I had to step back and look at it. It's all because of the spiritual wickedness that's in high places. And when we're not girded up and grounded and rooted in our faith, guess what? You're vulnerable to all kinds of fleshly desires and temptations that will take you away from the cross. And then you want to argue or fight against a brother and sister that comes to try to admonish you or to even lovingly rebuke you because they love you enough to say, I don't want to see my sister go to hell with foolishness. I don't want to see my sister or brother fall with foolishness. It's time for you to stop playing games with God and get on track. Because some folks been in church 20, 30 years, and they still wrestling with the same old mess, their flesh. They're wrestling with their flesh. They fighting against the very God who said he delivered them from the thing they asked him to save them from. I think some people want to be saved. They want the fire insurance. I don't think about it. It's true. They want fire insurance, but they don't want to committed relationship with God. And see, you have to look at the relationship with God like a marriage. Some of you ladies out there say you want a godly man, but guess what? You don't want to be a godly woman. Well, you're saying the same thing with God. Why would God give you a godly man if you a woman who is a rebel practicing witchcraft? And I'm saying that witchcraft is a form of, you know, rebellion is witchcraft, according to the Bible. So if you're practicing the very thing that God hates, but you say you want a man of God to lead you, but you're not going to follow him anyway, because the Bible says in Proverbs 14, 1 and 2, that a wise woman buildeth her house, but a foolish one plucks it down with her own hands. And you have to ask yourself, I can't answer it for you. You have to answer this question for yourself. Are you that foolish woman or a foolish man for that matter? Because there's some men, they want godly women. They go to the church recruiting women that are in the church, but guess what? They want to tear them down. They become a stumbling block to those very women because they're not men of God, and some women have no discernment to even test it. A lot of times what happens is they get you in bed, and then, hey, from there, you get cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, and you're no longer looking at the cross. You're looking at him. You ain't looking at the cross. You're looking at Chris. Or somebody else, you know, but you stop looking at Jesus. God will never, ever give you a gift that's going to pervert you. Or he will never, ever give you to somebody that you're going to pervert. Matthew 18 talks about the ones who come and they become a stumbling block. And there's many people out here that's in the Christian faith or claim to be Christians, but they're stumbling blocks to other believers because they bring forth, they come and they come with fleshly desires, earthly desires, things of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and they're not following the King of Kings. And see, when we get older, as we get older, we need to be a little bit more wiser. We need to be a little bit more, you know, wise in the way we handle ourselves. You can keep on doing the same thing, getting the same results. That's insanity. That's not biblical wisdom. You can keep on laying up with Tom, Dick, and Harry, and guess what? That's what you'll end up with. You all these spirits that come up against you, male or female. Because, see, Satan got recruits, too. He got disciples. He don't have a Christian church. He have an Antichrist church, and many of his disciples come, and these are the ones that he's talking about. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world against spiritual wickedness in high places. We need to be praying down these things, praying down these people, but the only way we can do that is that we're in right standing with God. Your prayer goes unanswered when you and I are not walking in the Holy Spirit. And if you're not saved, you don't have the Holy Spirit in you. You can say you're saved all day long. It doesn't matter what you say. The Bible is our standard. It's just like when we go to, if you go to a grocery store and you pick up produce, you look at that produce to see if it's good quality. Well, guess what? We can test to see if a person is genuine Christian by how they deal with things. What is their priorities? Are they just full of the God talk but no walk? See, we can't talk about God and not be in fellowship with God. We can talk about having a relationship with God, but when you're an adulteress to God, when you're committing spiritual adultery to God, and we keep saying, oh, but God knows my heart. Yes, I'm glad you said that. Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart is desperately sick. It's wicked. Our hearts are wicked. Without Christ? See, that's the difference between the old man and the new man. When you used to have these problems, or you used to be a person that was full of malice and wickedness, and you used to curse folks out at the drop of dime, if you're still doing that 20 years from now, 20 years later, you need to get saved. Because sweet water and salt water don't come out the same tablet. You can't have a potty mouth claiming to be a Christian and you've been doing this for 20 and 30 years? Oh, no. Oh, no. That's not the God of Scripture. It might be the God of Scripture, but that's not the God of Scripture. Ephesians 6:12, he says, for we wrestle. He says, now this is a little commentary, the wrestle. For our wrestling is that there is a struggle, a battle of life, and it must be assumed that once by all who look at the world as it is. The question is whether it is against the flesh and blood or against a more unearthly power of evil. And the question is, the answer is yes. It's definitely against everything, every evil, every form of ungodliness. Not that we're not responsible when we do sin or do evil. We're responsible. They're not going to put your sin in jail. You go out and murder somebody, they don't put your sin in jail. They put you in jail for murder. Well, God says that we need to be, if we're Christians, we're supposed to have laid off the old man and put on the new man. The new man is of Jesus Christ. See, we have to be, our wrestling is not against flesh and blood. But guess what? Flesh and blood, we human beings, they commit sin. They commit horrible sins. And we need to realize, when a person does something wrong, they need to be accountable for it. You know, we don't fight them in the natural. We fight them in prayer. Because, see, if God brought down the walls of Jericho, how much more can he bring down someone who's coming against you and I when we're walking in the Holy Ghost? See, when we're walking in the Holy Ghost, then guess what? God in us has the power, and he gives us a power and authority. Let's look at some scripture here to confirm that. Psalm 107:28-30 says, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. God said, he said, they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. That's what God did for Israel. How much will he do that for America? If America would humble themselves, if America would repent. Are we one day going to leave here? Because one day this earth is going to be burned up, because he already wrote it. But it doesn't mean that we have to leave here defeated. We don't have to leave here all broken up and bruised like we don't have a Heavenly Father fighting the battle and winning the battle. Some of us are so busy worried about getting our stuff down here. We want this and that car and this, that, and other. Guess what, friends? This is America. We spoiled over here. We have thrown God out the door and put on more of the world. And guess what? That pocket God that most people have gotten, that's the God that's taking people captive. Because it's things that we want. Those are our idols. And guess what? The more you get of stuff, the less you want of him. You want this man, want this woman, want this car, want this house, want this dog with a white fence. All that stuff is temporal, friends. It's going to burn up. And guess what? If you get it, if it wasn't given to you and you got the deed, you got a bill. And if you got a bill, guess what? It ain't yours till you pay it off. I'm not saying it's wrong to have it, but our priority has to be a passion for prayer. Because we need to be praying for this nation. We need to be praying for our government and the government officials. These folks are anti-Christ. We need to be praying that God would open their eyes. We need to be praying for our children. They go into school one way and come out another. Every day there's a change and a shift because Satan, the prince of darkness, is deceiving many, many souls. He is deceiving many. And until we get our priorities together in prayer and become and make prayer a passion, we're going to continue to fall by the wayside and be deceived. Again, we see here in Ephesians chapter 6, in the second part of that same verse, he says, flesh and blood, or rather, as perhaps also in Hebrews 2:14, blood and flesh, John 1:13 talks about, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. And in Matthew 16, verse 17, 1 Corinthians 15:50, you can write those down, we have flesh and blood. The sense is clearly as the comparison of all these passages shows mere human power. Possibly the word blood is here, but first to prevent even a moment's confusion with the idea of wrestling against the flesh as an evil power within ourselves. So you have to understand, friends, if you are not full of the Holy Spirit, your body, your temple is a vessel made available for ungodly spirits. And people say, well, I don't have no demon in me. How you know? Are you giving more of your time, more of your love and passion to the things of God, or is this world, the flesh, and the devil getting more glory out of your behavior or your conduct? Because, see, Christians live for Christ. Antichrists live for their father, Satan. I like that. That just came to me. Thank you, Holy Spirit. See, many people have a form of godliness, 2 Timothy chapter 3, but they deny the power. And see, if you are a born-again Christian, you are not ashamed of the gospel, for it is a power of God. It is a power of God. That's Romans 1:16. But we see here, he says, mere human, this flesh and blood is a mere human. That's, we all made up of flesh and blood. But guess what? If the blood of Jesus Christ has not cleansed you and washed you, then guess what? That's all you are. You're just a vessel that the enemy can come and use at any given time. He using you as his personal slave, marching you around. And Romans 6 and Romans 8 talking about we are no longer to be slaves of sin, but a slave of righteousness. Many Christians seem to be naive of that. They want to make excuses. I mentioned this sister, and I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt, Leandra Johnson, who's a gospel singer. I don't know her, don't know anything about her really, except the fact that she is making a mockery of the body of Christ with her behavior. Because if you stand if you have a platform that God has given you and blessed you and opened the doors and given you a new life in Christ and gave you a musical contract, your lifestyle is supposed to represent the King of Kings. And there's no excuse for it. That's like saying that if a person was a murderer before they came to Christ, they get saved and they go back to murdering people. And then you say, well, you can't judge me. Yeah, I can. Matter of fact, I don't have to worry about it. The cops going to put you in jail eventually. But see, as Christians, we're supposed to call our brother and sister to a certain standard of living. I want people to do that for me. I don't want to be somebody that I'm passing out cards and talking about Christ, but I'm living an anti-Christ life. What's the point of it? I might as well go back to my old lifestyle if I'm not going to do it right for God. And what's wrong with living a holy life? When did that become a crime? When did living a life that people can say, I can't stand him, but they say I can't stand him because he always talking about Jesus. He don't never want to go hang out. He don't want to do this. He don't want to do that. Okay, that's cool. I'd rather them call me names because of my stand for Christ than being a hypocrite. See, this is not a joke, friends. We're living in the last days. People need to stop talking about Revelation and believe Revelation, because one day God is going to burn this place up. I look at the Bible in Revelation, and there's 21 judgments that Jesus is going to pour out on this nation, on our world, the whole planet. Now, if you don't believe that, then you don't believe your Bible. I'm tired of people giving this false sense of, oh, we're just going to get blessed, and we're going to be getting this, and all these silly little, what's the word for it? You know, we get on my Facebook and stuff, people, and I know some sisters and brothers, they mean well, but stop putting these pictures up about God getting ready to bless you with money. Jesus is not the bank of heaven. He don't just come around giving out money to people. Some of y'all been asking for money for the last 30 years, and you still broke as a joke. Because God ain't getting ready to give us nothing that's going to take us away from him. Because he know the moment you get 50 cents, you gone. That's not the God of Scripture, friends. I don't see none of the apostles walking around with fancy nothing. These were poor men of humble means. They barely had anything. Jesus even talked about it. He said, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man don't have a place to lay his head. But we sitting around here talking about this, and it seems to be only in America. And guess what? Many false teachers have taken this lie over to Africa, over to third world countries, and they're pimping people over there. Pimping them with another gospel. Because my God is not stupid. He don't give out treasures. He don't give out stuff that's going to leave us or lead us away from him. That's the God of this world. That's Satan. It goes back to this. He says, for we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Our wrestling is not against flesh and blood. In Paul's epistle, he said he had dwelt on the opposition of the Christian to the heathen life and the duty of rebuking and putting to shame the works of darkness. But here he warns us that the struggle is not a struggle with the flesh and blood of wicked men, a struggle which may still admit of some reserve of sympathy, but a truceless war with the spiritual powers of evil themselves. In other words, when you're dealing with a fool, the best way to deal with a fool is you rebuke them with the word, and you don't be afraid to use the rhema word, the spoken word. This is the same word that Jesus came with against Satan in the wilderness when he said, it is written. But see, you can only use this word when you are girded up, when you have your armor on, you prayed up. You can't use this rhema word when you just talk to God like you talk to some fair weather friend. Hey, Jesus. And then you go on and you're dealing with the world and the flesh and the devil. No. This has to be a spiritual battle, friends, because this has to come from the, you got to have your mind right, your heart right, and you got to be clothed in the full armor of God. This is only where our power is going to be. We're going to have power to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Remember, he comes as an angel of light, and his ministers come as ministers of righteousness. And guess what? So they're going to tell you a little truth to get you away from them. They're going to tell you a little bit of truth just to captivate you, take you in. But you got to know your Bible. That's why I'm saying 30-30-30. 30 minutes in prayer, 30 minutes in the Word will make a difference in our lives, giving us the ammunition to be able to stand against the devil. We need to pray, though. In Matthew 7:7, he says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Now, this is not some check, blank spiritual check that you can write for the things that you want that have nothing to do with kingdom business first. Because remember, he told us to seek ye first the kingdom of God. As Christians, our lifestyle and our motto should be about the Great Commission. Matthew 28:19-21, I believe. The Great Commission was not a great suggestion. He told us to go ye therefore and make disciples. if you just concerned about you, God has already taken that prayer totally to the back room. That don't have nothing to do with kingdom business. This asking is about asking for God's will. Lord, what is your will? What am I, you seeking? You should be seeking the things that God wants you to seek, not the things you want to seek. Your priority, our priority should be his priority. And his priority is souls. His priority is discipleship. His priority is not the things of this world, because this is not our home, friends. We're strangers. We're pilgrims. We're just sojourning here. It doesn't mean you won't have things, but guess what? God wants you to have more of him, so much of him, that things don't cloud you, don't take you away from the kingdom of God. So this asking, is, it will be given, is about asking him, Lord, what is your will that, for me to have? What is the spiritual things I want? I want wisdom. I want discernment. I want the things that are going to help me in spiritual warfare. If you don't know your Bible and you're asking for $1 million, you're going to lose $1 million real quick, friends, because you're going to be a fool with money. You know how many folks have gotten a big check? There's a lot of lottery winners that won money, and guess what? They was broke in a year. Broke is a joke. We need to be seeking kingdom of God. We need to be seeking. Our priority has to be our passion. Our passion must be in Christ. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. Friends, I have heard so many people butcher this. Well, I'm just going to ask God for it. Well, how about asking God for some boldness? How about asking God for some for the opportunity to share his message to some lost soul? When have you thought about somebody other than yourself? Because if it's all about you in this, you ain't going to get none of it. Or Satan might come along and give you the very things that you want, because he wants you to go to hell anyway. Matthew 21:22, and whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive it if you have faith. This is still not a blank check for stuff down here. What? Seeking ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Jesus already made it very clear. What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange? Oh, man, time ran out. This is about as far as I'm going to go, friends. I might have to cut it off. Oh, I hate it. I hate it. Well, I think we got us a good start, and this is going to be, we'll come back to this probably Saturday. We'll come back on this, and we'll do a little bit more in depth, a couple hours in it. But I want you to be encouraged. I want my brothers and sisters to be encouraged. I thank you for the 30-30 challenge, for raising up and a part of the taking a step with me in faith, that we will continue to build up the kingdom of God by prayer and by studying in God's word. And I want to encourage each and one of you, just as you pray for me as I pray for you. Hey, let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, time just not long enough for us to get into this, Lord. But I thank you for opening the door, this prayer challenge. And I ask, Father God, that you would just touch each one of my brothers and sisters, Lord God. To give us a passion for your word, that we will make it a priority. Give us a passion for prayer, Lord, that we will make it a priority. Lord, we love you and bless you. And we ask, Lord God, to just touch those who do not have a relationship with you, that they may come to Christ today. We love you, we praise you, we bless you in Jesus' name, and we thank you. Hey, God bless each and every one of you. Hope to see you back here. I'll be back here tomorrow. We go back in our lesson of holiness. God bless.